Welcome back, guys. Behavior Strategies for Class with our monthly chat with Miss T. And this month's topic is going to be about stealing. Like, we have kids from kinder, of course, all the way through that steal from the teachers, from their peers, backpacks, desks, anything and everything. So we're going to kind of talk about that topic today. But I will let you again introduce yourself, Ms. T, to our audience.
All right. Thank you. Like she said, I am Ms. T, school psychologist. And yeah, today we're going to talk about stealing. And I think stealing is a pretty straightforward one. You know, like, usually when we talk about behaviors, you know, we always like want to define like what specifically the behavior is. Because there can be some times where, you know, they're like, oh, well, they blurt out. And you're like, okay, well, what does that look like? Because to some teachers, blurting out looks like, you know, they're talking at a normal volume, but they're just speaking when they shouldn't be speaking. But to other teachers, it's they're yelling and that's blurting to them. And so, but I think stealing is pretty self-explanatory, pretty straightforward. But I think something to keep in mind, or like that I've seen, like, in kind of like not research necessarily that I've done, but like things that I've seen when they talk about stealing is they're sneaky, for one. I think sneaky behavior is part of that piece. And then also like denial when you confront the student is a huge part of it too.
Lying, right?
Yeah, like the lying component of the stealing piece. Cause sometimes, you know, how kids are, they like take things from each other in a joking manner. And if both students are taking things from each other and it's going back and forth, I wouldn't necessarily consider that stealing. But I think if you have a student who's, you know, taking something from someone without their knowledge or without their like permission, and they're like, you know, they try and take it home or something like that, or refuse to give it back, I think that's more towards the end of stealing. But anyway, so in terms of stealing within the classroom, I think there's two different ways that you have to like focus on first. And sorry if you can hear my kids yelling in the background. They're like right outside the door arguing about something. So
I actually do
sorry,
but no worries.
Okay. But they're like, hey, that's mine. Just talking about stealing. But so I think at first to pick a strategy or to pick an intervention, you have to figure out, or maybe it's pretty obvious, who they're stealing from. Are they stealing from the teacher or are they stealing from peers? Because I think that really is going to dictate where you take that intervention piece. Because so let's go a teacher first. Let's say they're stealing from teacher first. I think, I mean, like we talk about all the time, that relationship piece with that teacher is going to be huge, right? And typically you have a teacher who has higher social skills, higher coping skills. And so I feel like the intervention might almost be easier to implement when they're stealing from a teacher, because they can work on that like mutual level of respect and stuff like that. Because, you know, you're working with an adult and you would hope that as an adult, they're able to, you know, work on that. Whereas like if they're stealing from peers, I feel like that one's harder because you can't always like keep an eye on when it's happening. You know, you might not always be in the room when it's happening. And if it's like multiple peers, like that's going to be even more difficult to, you know, mend those relationships with the peers, or maybe have some peer buy-in to like being willing to forgive that peer for stealing. But again, I think it all goes back to like that student's relationship in the classroom with their peers and with their teacher. Cause I mean, we could talk about the function of stealing, you know, like why would a student steal? What would the function be behind it?
Right.
And, you know, logically we probably think tangible, you know, they want something that somebody else has that they don't have. But also I think sometimes it could be attention seeking as well. You know, they don't know how to appropriately, positively get attention. And so they steal things. They might not necessarily want them, but they just want that attention piece.
If I could also just interject, I've also seen it on the food side, where
that's a good
for
one.
whatever reason, You know, that one student is not getting snacks for the day, or, you know, maybe they only had one and they already ate it, or, you know, and then of course they see somebody else's food, sticking out of their backpack or in the snack box or whatever, and they'll snatch it there. And so, I mean, that's more, I don't know. I mean, yeah, they're hungry. So why would they not just say, hey, ask the teacher? Because of course, majority of teachers have extra snacks in their room. So then again, why wouldn't they just go and ask for another snack? I don't know.
No, that's a good one too. And I think sometimes there's like that shame aspect. I think when it comes from to the food piece, like there's like maybe like that shame piece because it's like, oh, my family can't afford to, you know, send me to school with a snack every day, and I don't want my friends or my peers to know that my family can't afford these things. So I'm just going to steal it rather than ask for it. But that's it. That is a really good one. Yeah. Or like stealing and like hoarding. They like steal it to just hoard it. Like they have like no intention of like really doing anything with it, but like you look in their desk and they have like
I've
all
seen
of
that
these
too.
things in there. Yeah. I haven't seen much stealing, you know, with my work in the schools, but I haven't been in the schools that long. But I don't know, like, if you can speak to like how often you see it or what, you know.
I would say not a ton. I mean, not, I've been in the schools for a long time, and it really isn't as common as you would think, because I've been in schools where backpacks and is in the classroom. And so is that easier for them? I don't know, but you know, they have a closet and they try and shove everything in there. And there's definitely ample opportunities, even inside the classroom, for kids to be like, oh, cool, you know, and just take whatever. But then I've also been at other schools where they hang up their backpacks outside of the classroom. And it's kind of the same. Kids have their backpacks sometimes wide open and their stuff is hanging out. And so I could see how easy it would be just to like walk by and grab whatever. But the good thing nowadays is that we have cameras now in the hallways. So even if we catch a student and they're denying it, then we definitely have that ability to go back and be like, sorry, buddy. Yeah, we just saw you do it, no matter what you're telling us. But it's really not as common. And I mean, there's other times that some students have just said, well, I just wanted it. You know, whatever it was they took, I just wanted it.
Yeah.
So it's kind
Or I
of
feel
a,
like with
yeah,
elementary
their
kids more
attitude.
so because they're like so disorganized. Like if the backpacks and stuff are in the hallway and a toy or something ends up on the floor away from the backpack and another student picks it up, they're like, oh, they stole that. And it's like, well, it was on the floor. I just took it. Like I didn't know who it
Yeah, that's true
was.
too.
But yeah, so I think, so anyway, I looked up this list of kind of like interventions that this website suggested, and I thought it would be interesting if we just like talked about whether or not this would be like, and like some of them are common sense, but like whether or not it would be like a good intervention. 'Cause there's some on here I'm like, I don't know how that would turn out, you know, like, and they have a pretty good list here too. And what's really great about this website, I don't know if you ever used PBIS World, but they like, you go to like their main website and they have like all of these behaviors listed. And then you click on the behavior and it gives you like the list of like what the behavior looks like kind of like that defining piece of what it looks like. And then it'll give you tier one interventions, tier two interventions, and tier three interventions. And then, it gives you like data tracking sheets too. So you don't even have to like make your own. You can just like use the ones from the website.
Yeah, those are great too. Especially if you have, you know, that chronic thief, if you want to call him, you know.
Okay. So some of the ones, or the first one they have is acknowledging positive behavior, which of course should be in every classroom, which again, these are tier one interventions, so they should be happening at the classroom level anyway. But I also feel like this would be like a really good starting point. Like, let's say you do have a student in a classroom who, you know, you've tried kind of some things maybe to prevent the stealing or whatnot, but they continue to do it from teachers, students, whatever. I feel like you could like go through this list and be like, okay, am I acknowledging positive behavior? Am I avoiding power struggles? Like that one seems like a no-brainer. But
Right.
again, like sometimes I feel like we don't notice that we're doing things until we actually like it's we see on a list and we're like, are we doing this or are we not?
I agree because it's so easy to get in a power struggle with a student, especially if they're denying what they're doing. No, I saw you. No, yes, no, I didn't. Yes, I, no, I saw, and you're constantly just going back and forth, and then you're just frustrated and angry, and now you're just, shoving them back to their desk and then not really dealing with the situation. So I think that's really good to have that list and actually see it and just, bring to mind like, oh, yeah, I think I am power struggling with that student, and then be able to be like, okay, how can I fix that? So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And then they say, like, you know, a call home or a note home, which makes sense. Like, you would want to notify parents. They have one here called the card flip, which is kind of like, you know, the behavior clip charts and stuff like that. But I thought this one was interesting because I clicked on it because I was like, oh, I want to see how they do it. And they have this huge warning at the top. It's like, stop, controversial intervention. Please read before implementing.
What?
I know. And
Oh my word.
there was like some links in there, like stop using behavior flip charts. Like I don't use a clip chart. And I don't know if you've seen this or like heard this recently, but there's like a lot of not research, but necessarily, but like things coming out where it's like, sorry, things coming out where it's like, don't use like the behavior clip charts anymore. 'Cause it's almost like a, it's like a public shaming kind of thing almost.
I don't know. I mean, I get that. But I think for the most part, they are used in a positive way. I've seen them hanging in some classrooms and teachers don't really use it. But I have seen other teachers, just call a student out and be like, your behavior is not okay. You need to clip down. But on the flip side of that, also, I have seen that same teacher say, but you know what? I am going to catch you doing something great throughout the day. And then you will have the opportunity to clip back up. So I think just kind of putting a little more positive spin maybe on it, just saying, right now, you're not making good choices. And so, and this is very minor consequence. I think it's just bringing to light what that behavior is. I mean, definitely you could turn it into a huge shaming session. Yes, I'm sure. Unfortunately, that there probably are teachers who do that. But for the most part, I've seen it used in a positive way. Like I said, if you have to clip down now, but you know what, later, I know you're going to do something great and you're going to clip right back up, So it's just, I think, again, how you use it, what kind of spin you put on it, and just it's just bringing to light what behavior is. And I think in some ways we're going to, we don't want to, I think that takes away the responsibility. If we're not going to point out any of the behavior and we're not going to give any consequence to the behavior, then how is a student going to take responsibility for their behavior? And this is starting, in the elementary level. Obviously, I'm sure in the older school, high school, middle school, you don't have a behavior chart, but
That's like
still,
there's like
it's
the
teaching them that responsibility of their own behavior, I think. What do you think?
and there's like this parody thing where like you know a guy driving his car gets pulled over and the cop's like, you were speeding, I need you to go clip down, and he's like, okay, I'll go clip down. And so like I get the point that they're making because you know it's like if your only consequence is gonna go clip down, like what are you really learning? But I also see it from like a public kind of standpoint too. Like if you're not asking kids to clip up, if you're not like redirecting the clip down in a positive way. I can see it, having more of a negative effect than a positive. But in terms of like stealing, using a flip card, because I've seen teachers have it where they have like a card, an individual card on students' desks. And if they flip it to like from green to red, it lets the student know, like, you need to calm down, your energy is too high, or you're not paying attention, or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But I don't see that being super successful with stealing, because it's like there has to be more follow-up. Like, you can't just like flip the card to red and expect the student, one, to return the stuff, and two, like, I feel like with that one, there has to be like a really restorative like conversation about it, like, to like find out why they're taking it or what. I don't know, but I just thought that one was interesting. And then also interesting that there was like this huge warning, like, stop before you do this. This is controversial.
Like they're gonna say, you need to start whipping your children again. Like, really? No.
But yeah, so I thought that one was interesting, just to like cl click on that and see that. And also, like, there has been, or I looked a little further into it and saw like all these like forums and stuff like that that talked about how they don't use like behavior charts in their classrooms anymore and stuff like that. And so I just thought that was interesting, because that seems to be like the go-to of like almost probably kindergarten to third, fourth grade. It's like a staple of a classroom, like a behavior
That's
chart
true.
or something like that.
If we could go back to the individual cards, I have seen that used by the students. So everybody in the classroom has a green and a red card. And it was really for a couple individual students in the class. And so the teacher handled it great by giving the same card to everybody in the classroom. So those students didn't feel isolated. And so they, when they felt frustrated or upset or whatever, they were the ones who flipped their cards over to red. And then the teacher could direct either to the calm corner or they needed a break outside the class or whatever it was. So I've used seen those being used differently. And like you said, I don't think those are great for the stealing behavior for sure.
And so then they also say like clear and consistent predictable consequences, which I totally agree with. Like, I think, however you address the stealing needs to be the same every time, no matter what the stolen object is. I guess maybe I could see like higher consequences if it was like somebody's cell phone or something like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's kind of the same, maybe overall, the expectations of behavior. But yeah, definitely for stealing, what is the expectation? Is it you're just going to call home? Do you go talk to admin? Do you write an apology letter? What are the consequences or expectations if? And I feel like it's not really addressed until the situation comes up. So like I know there's like an overall behavior expectations for classrooms, but as far as stealing, I don't think there's any specific until that situation arises.
I also feel like, maybe you have like someone who's like a habitual stealer. I feel like there needs to be like an agreement where if you come to the student with a suspicion that they stole something and they're honest with you, like right out the get-go, I feel like there should be like a lesser consequence, or maybe even no consequence at all. Like, if it's like an hour after they did it and you're like, hey, I have some students telling me this. If you tell me if you have it, like, we don't get in trouble. Instead, it's a very different conversation of, why are you doing this? Why do you keep stealing this pen? Like, do you want a special pen? I'll get you a special pen,
Yeah, I think
But I
that's
feel
totally
like,
true. I've seen that also because obviously you want your student to be honest with you. And I've seen a lot of kids just own it. Yeah, you're right. I took it. Sorry. And go about. But if you continue to lie and Yeah, I agree that there should be maybe a stronger consequence in that situation. Because
Yeah.
then we can go
Well, because
into,
it's
well,
like,
why do they keep lying, you know?
yeah. But yeah, and I just think about when I was growing up and how, like when you admitted to doing something wrong, like the consequence was just the same as if you had lied about it and then they found out you were lying. Like if you did something wrong, you got the same punishment as if you lied about it and they later found out about it. And I don't think that's fair because that just like instills fear. Because then they're just thinking, well, I'm going to get the same consequence anyway for telling the truth. So why would I tell the truth when I might be able to get away with what I have done?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Because then you're not building on that relationship and that connection because you want to build that trust and respect with each other. And if you're just like, oh, well, thanks for telling me, but you're still, you know, suspended for 3 days, you know, I don't know. But yeah.
That's another thing too. I don't think a student should be suspended for stealing. They did not that they recommended this in here, but I just think then that creates another possible bad habit. Because then if you create this expectation or predictable consequence that, oh, every time I steal, I'm gonna go home. Well, if I want to go home, I'm just gonna go steal something.
Right. Yeah. And kids, of course,
So
learn that really fast.
absolutely. So some of them on here that I thought were, made sense and like I think in used in conjunction with each other would be really good is frequent contact home, logical consequences, of course. What else did they have? Like obviously praising when cooperative and well behaved, praising with good attitude and involvement. This one I liked too was a reflection sheet,
Oh, yeah, that's
to
good.
reflect on the behavior and stuff like that. Well, and also I think in combination with that, like restorative justice, like having a conversation with that person you stole from, and maybe how that made that other person feel.
Yes, I think that's really good, especially for the older kids, but even some of the younger kids can, you know, can really stop and think, well, how do you think that person felt when you took that? You know, what if somebody took your favorite whatever? You know, so I think that is good. Teaching that empathy piece is important as well. So I think the reflection sheet is good too.
Yeah, and then they have on here like remove from room, which I didn't necessarily agree with. I'm like, well, if you're pulling them to have a private conversation, I guess yes,
Right.
remove them from the room. Or if it's like becoming like a situation where all the students are like accusing that one student, like I saw him do it, I saw him do it, like pull them out of the room to like de-escalate the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that one was depending on how you use it. I was like, I wouldn't make that my go-to.
Yeah. So I've definitely seen teachers do
And
that,
then.
you know, just call a student out, just stand right there in the hallway and talk about it. And for the most part, they're like, all right, you know, thanks for being honest. And then really, for the most part, like you said, they go about their day.
I think the hard stuff comes when it's like a habitual stealer. Like, what do you implement with that student to really tackle the behavior? Because sometimes I feel like it's like a one-off of a student that steals stuff and then you address it with like that conversation, that phone call home, which is usually enough to negate that. But what do you do when you have a student who is that habitual one who's, stealing maybe once a month, once a week, or even more than that? Like, how do you, intervene with that and create something that's impactful for them? And I think, for them, I think that individualized like behavior point sheet of like, okay, why are we stealing? What are we gaining from it? Are you wanting to have like, are you stealing the iPad and hiding it in your desk because like you want to like take it outside and try and use it or something like that? Like, do you
Right.
want more iPad time? Because like we can work towards that. Or, stealing food, like that, I that is just, you know, I think building that relationship with that student to where they feel safe and can ask for food.
Yeah, because we've been,
And then, but yeah, I think.
no, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
No, I was just going to say we have had a student that was habitually stealing from the teacher's desk, stealing from peers' backpacks. And I believe they called home, but I don't really know what else they have done. So, what is something else you would suggest to work on that behavior?
Do you know like what they were stealing?
No, I don't. I don't
Just
know
like
what.
anything they could get their hands on.
I think so. I think more like fidgets, like tangible things, things to play with, 'cause he would always want to bring, toys and other things from home. And then I think they finally were cutting that back. And then he started taking other stuff. And I'm not sure what he took from the teacher's desk, but at least that's what I know.
Yeah, and I feel like for that, again, like that individualized kind of like behavior point sheet, like maybe if he earns, you know, goes so many days without stealing something, like, okay, you can bring a special toy from home and you may have it at recess. If you know, that's what he's like retaliating against or whatever.
Right.
But,
Yeah, so he was
and
finally
again,
allowed
too,
to bring a fidget to class, and then of course he brought like, the big gigantic poppets. It's like,
Oh my
well, okay,
gosh.
that's one, but it's like as big as your head. I don't think that's really what we were thinking about. But
My gosh.
again,
Kids
that's a
are
call
so
home
fun because
too.
you have to be like so explicit on what your expectations are. Because if you say, okay, you can bring one fidget from home, they are going to bring the most annoying, loud, obnoxious fidget possible. Unless you say it can only be as big as an index card and it can't make noise. You know, like you have to be like so explicit with kids, especially when it's something they want. Like you have to be like so like, oh, just put it in picture for them.
Kids are too smart. They really are.
But yeah, I would say, I mean, again, I feel like there's also so much more that goes on than just, you know, this kid is stealing just to steal. Like there's the background of the home life that you need of that student. You know, academically, are they strong students or are they weak students academically? You know, stuff like that. Like there's so many like things that come into factor, even with something like that seems as straightforward as stealing.
Right. But I think definitely, like you said, getting that call in to parents, getting that reflection sheet for them, having a behavior chart, and maybe it's just we call them token boards where our students can earn, like 3 to 5 tokens, and then they get whatever it is that they're wanting or needing, and whether that's, extra iPad time or a specific toy in the class or whatever it is, maybe that could be something instead of, a behavior chart per se, but that student may have other behaviors. I mean, do you think this is on top of other behaviors that the student may be struggling with? Because I think you're totally right in that, behavior is communication, and what else is going on? Because, like you said, it's very easy just to look at this one thing when there really is so much more. But at the same time, you're not always going to know everything else that's going on. So how do you manage and go through that situation?
Well, and I think, you know, the saying it takes a village. Like if you have a student who is stealing, you're not just going to be leave it up to classroom teacher and that student. You know, like like the with a student you guys are dealing with who's stealing, you know, you're in communication with parents, you have admin in communication. I'm sure the school counselor is also in the loop. And so I think one, being very open about the behavior that is happening with everybody who might be, you know, have some influence over that student or might have a connection with that student is essential. And again, you pulling parents in right away is a huge thing because sometimes I think we have this thing where like a behavior happens and we're like, oh, well, it's a one-off. Like we'll just leave it go. And then, you know, we come to this meeting with a parent 2 months down the road and we're like, oh, this has been going on since August. And they're like, why
What?
wasn't I notified? You
Yeah.
know?
I agree.
And then it gets me thinking too, because like if you have a student who's stealing because they just like want what other kids have, I like think about a student who maybe already has like some quote unquote bad behaviors and they're not earning like those like pride tickets or whatever it may be. So they can't get to the pride cart because they're not getting enough pride tickets. So they're like, well, if I can't do it, I'm just going to steal it because I'm never going
True.
to get pride tickets to get to the pride cart, you know? And so it's like, how do you build and or instill in them like you are a good student, you can make better choices, you know?
Right.
So, and that's a totally different behavior to work on. Like you work on the behaviors of, you know, how do you get pride tickets? Like, are you blurting out in class and that's why you're not getting the pride tickets? Or do you have a time following classroom expectations and rules and that's why you're not getting the pride tickets, which is leading to the stealing? Like,
Right.
and
Yeah,
so
there's
again, it's just like it
definitely.
takes a village. And so I think, yeah, being just communicating with your team as much as possible. Like that's what people are there for, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think definitely getting that collaboration, together. And like you said before, you try this strategy, and if it's, the reflection sheet isn't working, then go maybe towards the token or maybe bring the parents in and actually sit down and have a conversation, with the student at the same time. Whatever it is that works, but I think it's remembering, like, it's not a one and done. We expect, like, okay, well, it's stealing. Okay, this is the expectation. Okay, it's done. Oh, but they're still stealing. I think sometimes we forget, like, it's repetition, it's consistency. They need to know you mean what you say, and follow through the same. Like, I've seen other teachers be like, well, you can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And then an hour later, they're doing that thing, whatever it was. So I think definitely having follow through, because if you're not sticking to your word, they for sure are going to take advantage of you and not listen to you. I mean, honestly, what do you think?
Well, I think 100%. And I think too, it's definitely more difficult once you get into those middle school and high school levels because then you start getting into, okay, this student knows better. And then I feel like at the high school level, you have more of a chance to like, you know, cops and police can get involved because it's private personal property, you know, that's being stolen and stuff like that. And so how do you like connect with the student in that way so that they're not doing it and that they understand and so that they care, I guess, like, 'cause I feel like sometimes by that age, they've already made that choice to be like, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do this for the rest of my life. If I want something, I'm going to steal it 'cause I don't want to pay for it. So it's like, how do you know, connect with that student and, you know, work with that student to change that behavior?
That's tough. But I think also that comes back to relationship and connection with that student. I mean, not that that is 100% the answer that, his behavior is going to be perfect after that. But again, building that relationship is being consistent in their life and, calling out behavior, but also the positive. It's all of the pieces coming together, but it's still looking that student in the eye and saying, you know what? I'm glad you're here today. And just building that atmosphere of caring and value for that student. And yes, like you said, you may never be able to stop him from stealing 100%, but you can show him and teach him, like, this is really not who you want to be. I don't know. That's what I think. What do you think?
And I think, no, I totally agree, because I think lots of that middle school and high school level, it's so easy just for, our district policies to be like, well, this district policy says suspension. I'm like, suspension is not working because you're going to suspend them and they're old enough to be home alone. So nobody's going to supervise them, and they're going to go out to a store and steal some
And
more
go steal.
stuff and maybe.
Right.
And go, and they're gonna go steal some more stuff and maybe end up in juvie or jail for the amount they stole, So it's like,
Yeah.
wouldn't you rather have them be in your building, maybe stealing stuff, but you have a higher likelihood of catching them stealing that stuff, getting it back to the rightful person, and, keeping them in school, which is the main goal. I think sometimes I mean, it's a blurred line, right? Like, you want them to be a good person in life, but it's like the same boundary I have to like set for myself too, as a school psychologist, to say, like, this is not a therapeutic setting. My job is to make sure they're at school and they're successful at school. And, it's tough because, you want them to have a good life and you want them to make good choices and, be successful. But there's also that point where you have to be like, once you leave this school, I can't worry about you anymore. Like, there's nothing more I
Yeah.
can do for you.
Yeah, that's hard
And I
sometimes.
think that's the hard part.
Yeah, and I think ultimately
I think
too,
that's
it's
the hard.
especially with the older kids too, is just taking time with them. If you're able to just sit down and be like, "Dude, what's going on? You know, why do you still need to do this?" or whatever. Especially the older ones, I feel like they just don't get that time sometimes, you know, whether at home. And obviously, again, we may not know their whole family situation. And we don't necessarily have to know, but just being able to just take a minute, you know, it could be even just 5 minutes and just be like, hey, you know, I want more for you or whatever. Just speaking that encouragement and positivity into their life. Really, I think is going to make a big difference whether or not the actual stealing behavior changes 100%. But it's not to feel hopeless that we can't do anything about it, especially when they're older, but that you can still offer them hope and encouragement and positivity and speak that into their life. I think that still would make a difference than just be like, well, you stole, you're out, like, you just need to get out of here. It just
And
makes me
I'm a
crazy.
huge fan of like natural and logical consequences. So I feel like once they get into middle school and high school, you think about like, what's the most annoying thing I could do for this student? And I'd be like, okay,
Exactly.
you got to leave your backpack in the front office every day. Sorry about it. Like,
Yeah.
can't keep, other people's stuff out of your backpack. Well, you're just going to keep it in the front office then. Like, what? And, it's like, you're still
Yeah.
respecting their privacy, because it's like, unless someone is telling me they saw you put something in a backpack, or I have it on camera that you put
Right.
something in your backpack, I'm not going to go through your backpack. Like, I'll respect your privacy, but that
Right.
backpack's going to sit up here with me in the front office all day then.
Yeah.
Or whatever it may be, like, what's just annoying enough. But also there's that trust and respectful piece of like, I'm going to respect that, you're your own person, and like, I don't want you to feel like I'm invading your privacy, but also I'm going to make this very annoying for you because you can't seem to figure it out.
No, and I think, like you said, that's a very logical consequence too. You know, you can't handle it, you can't control yourself. Well, then you can check in, you know, with the principal at the end of the day. You know, I think
Or
of
like,
you know, other students who would have they would get in like food fights in the cafeteria. Well, thankfully, like their natural consequence, guess what? You're cleaning up. And not just your mess, you're going to clean up everybody else's mess and the next class. You know, I don't think sometimes it has to be so major extreme for everything either.
Yeah. Or, nowadays a lot of buildings have their own SRO. And so it's like,
Oh yeah.
okay, we're figuring out your patterns and you are leaving class a lot to go to the bathroom, but you're gone for like 15 minutes at a time. And then after you leave, something always ends up missing. Well, I guess you're going to be escorted now everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, it's annoying for you. It's annoying for the SRO. It's annoying for the student. And so you kind of hope that like sparks them to be like, man, this is really annoying. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
I mean, either they'll be sneakier or they'll just stop doing it because it's not worth it.
Exactly. All right. So what parting words of wisdom do you have for us about stealing, Miss T?
Oh man, that one's hard because again, like we talked about, I don't think stealing is super relevant. I don't see it a lot, at least, in the buildings that we work in. Maybe it's more prevalent
Yeah.
elsewhere, but I would say no matter who your student is or what grade level you work with, that relationship piece is huge. And also just having that accountability piece will be huge as well. And then once you get into those higher grades, having that real conversation with them and be annoying to them because they're annoying to us all the time. So just dish
Exactly.
it back in a respectful manner.
That's awesome because ultimately you're building relationship that way, whether they like it or not, just like your own children, we're there to torture them
Exactly.
and annoy
Yeah.
them.
Like, and you build the best relationship. Yeah. You build the best relationship with students who you can annoy and they annoy you. And it's like a mutual understanding. Like, those are like the best relationships that you have. And those students respect you the most. And like, they're annoyed by you and they don't like it. But man, if they're having a day and you're like, just come to my office, they come to your office and they know that in there, they're okay.
Exactly. I've been told many times how annoying I am, but you know what? It's all right. I get right back in their face and remind them,
You're
do
like,
their
oh, I
work.
know, but don't you just love it? You're like, oh, yes, I
Yes.
know I'm annoying, but you love me.
Exactly. Well, as always, it's so great to talk with you, and I so appreciate your insight, your wisdom, and I look forward to next month. And thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next week.